This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Congressman Phil Gingrey, a Republican representing the Peach State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a longtime practicing physician. We want to get his thoughts on some of the latest developments in the healthcare debate on Capitol Hill. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
Well, first of all, we know that three different House bills have come out of committee, all with the public option. One in the Senate has the public option, and the one that's gotten the most attention from the Baucus Senate Finance Committee does not have the public option. Is there anything you see in the Baucus plan that makes you more optimistic than what you've seen from the other committees?
Well, Greg, that in itself is the thing that makes me a little bit more optimistic, but I worry that they'll bring a base bill, Majority Leader Reid will bring a base bill to the floor of the Senate that doesn't have the public option in it, and he gets his cloture vote. And then all of a sudden the First Amendment that's offered is one to put back in the public option, and then it only needs 51 votes to pass. So that scares me.
Congressman, there's some reports out there that there's going to be some sort of quasi-public option in there, basically meaning they'll either go with the Olympia Snow idea of a trigger mechanism that if in a few years, if the private companies haven't reduced health care costs and premiums by a sufficient amount, then the public option will kick in. Another one is the idea from Senator Carper of Delaware that would let individual states decide whether they would want to include the public option as a possibility for consumers in their state. What do you make of those options?
I think they're both Trojan horses. I believe that either one of them will ultimately lead inevitably to a full-scale public option in 3 to 5 years. That would be a non-starter from my perspective. I would be very much opposed to both of those. I mean, you couldn't let individual states make a decision. Lord knows, look what we've got under our Medicaid system. Eventually, we would have a full-scale public option, and then the next step is a single-payer system, which so many of these members of the Democratic majority, particularly those that have been around here for a long time, that's what they want, and they have said it. I mean, they've said it in committee, on the Energy and Commerce Committee. Indeed, there were even some amendments that were submitted by the Democrats saying we want a single-payer system.
Congressman, proponents of the public option or even the co-op or the trigger, whatever they decide to call it, say this is about competition, adding another player in the game that could bring down healthcare premium costs across the board. What's the GOP approach to improving competition?
Well, Greg, they said the same thing back in 2003 on Medicare Part D, the prescription drug plans, and they wanted the government to set price controls, and they wanted a government to compete with the prescription drug plans. It was entirely unnecessary, and in fact, the average premium came in at about $24 a month when the Democrats predicted it would be $40 a month. So the marketplace works. The private marketplace works if you just don't let the government put too many burdens and rules and regulations. So our position is, look, we want competition. We're not opposed to subsidies for people that are not eligible for a safety net, but they're not making enough money to be able to afford to buy their own individual policy. And let's say we allow that up to 300% of the federal poverty level. Greg, my gosh, that's $65,000 a year for a family of four. But to carry it up to 400% and even higher, this is ridiculous. You just crowd people out of the private insurance market. They drop their plans and they get on the government dole, and that's where you get $1.5 trillion worth of cost. In fact, you know, if the true cost, if you started counting it from 2014 to 2023, it would probably be closer to $2.5 trillion. So, you know, and even Greg, if they end up paying for this with all kinds of tricks and a sleight of hand, you know, what good have you done if you pay for something and you end up with an Edsel?
Congressman, there had been some talk on Capitol Hill about removing the antitrust exemption for the health insurance industry, and it really seemed to take on some more oxygen for Democrats once America's Health Association plans released its estimates on the cost of premiums from Price Waterhouse over the weekend. Now you have the likes of Chuck Schumer really pressing for the end of this exemption. How important is that? What's the significance of that for our listeners?
Well, as you point out, the Democratic majority is really scrambling, and PricewaterhouseCoopers is pretty reliable, well-respected national accounting firm, one of the biggest in the nation, and said that, within 10 years, would have $4,000 more cost per year for insurance premiums for a family of four. So the Democrats clearly are upset about that, and they're scrambling. Now, to remove the antitrust exemption from the health insurance industry, you know, I'm not sure where I would come down on that. If it would increase competition and lower cost, and I want to look at that very closely, that's something that I possibly could be supportive of. On the other hand, I would say that the healthcare providers, the physicians in this country, for years have been asking for the same exemption so that they could compete fairly for a decent reimbursement from the private insurance market. They don't have that exemption. They can't even talk to each other about what's a fair price for a delivery or an appendectomy or a surgical or medical procedure. So I think for one thing for sure, the providers, the doctors should be treated the same way in regard to federal law and antitrust as the health insurance industry.
Last question for you, Congressman. This is on a different subject, but I know you're on the House Armed Services Committee. We saw earlier today that the House voted to allow Guantanamo detainees to be tried in the United States. Could pave the way for moving the detainees to Michigan and perhaps elsewhere. Your thoughts on what happened there today?
Well, Greg, one of the very reasons why I voted against that, in addition to it, there's a 22% increase in the spending in the Department of Homeland Security, I think a 27% increase in spending on the transportation, TSA. This is just ridiculous, this runaway spending, but certainly the nail in the coffin for me was that provision in regard to the detainees at Gitmo.
Well, sir, I know your time is short. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Hey, Greg, it's always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Georgia Congressman Phil Gingrey represents Georgia's 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.